Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for this time. God, every person represented here. God, I thank you that your hands in their lives. God, I pray supernatural blessing, God, a move of your spirit. God, I thank you as we enter into this new series, God, that you touch people's hearts, God, change people's minds, our perspectives, our attitudes, and God, that we reflect you and for who you are and what you're about in this place. God, thank you for your healing power that's present. God, I thank you for strong marriages. God, I thank you for happy homes and powerful, incredible children. God, that your hand's on everything we do, and we're so appreciative. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting. It's still the new year to me. It's 2015. I recently went. I think it was a purchase, and I was at a counter, and the clerk wrote the date down and stopped and had to rethink 2015. That's usually me, but it's interesting. So I could have said 15. She goes, oh my gosh, that's right. But what's ahead of us for 2015 is still exciting to me. You know, what's in front of us. And I believe that we get to pick it. We get to pick our path. We get to pick the trajectory of our lives. And I think our lives ought to have a trajectory. I think that our lives ought to have the purpose of our life elevates that the aim of our life. And honestly, we all know this, that most people's over 40% of people's resolutions at the new year, man, they begin waning after the first week. You know, by now that we're a month into the new year, you know, it's got to be 2/3 or 3/4 of people's resolutions are just by the wayside. And a little bit of that, I think, is people go into those resolutions just managing change rather than being the change agents that really empower us and really is exciting for us. But most people's resolutions wane in the first year. But we're not most people. That's how we have to look at it. We can't look at ourselves and think, well, it's just too hard to do. You know, because let me just tell you something. It might be a little bit difficult initially. And you should write that down because I think it's important. Initially, it's until, let me tell you, you begin to get the kind of the muscle memory and even the memory of our life where it begins to take over, and it's not that difficult after we get through that startup and the initial part of it. You know, a rocket that takes off uses over 90% of its a fuel consumption just in the liftoff, just getting through the atmosphere. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to understand that there might be an oppressive atmosphere that's operative in your life that really, honestly, that you fueled up with God's word is going to get you out of that and on a new course, because we're not most people. In 1 Peter, the second chapter in the ninth verse, Peter says, but he's talking to the Jewish people here too. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, that we're his people now, no matter how you came in here. The thing, I'll tell you, one of the main things I love about this church is nobody's checking your record. Nobody's vetting you to see if you qualify to attend our church. No, you know what? Man, it's come one, come all. And let me tell you, God's going to love you right where you are, but he's not going to leave you the way you are. See, that's what you have to look at. God's not going to leave you the way you are. Man, you're going to leave here better. Every person in here, you're entitled by the Spirit of God that's in this place. Listen, entitles us. Man, not just offers it, but actually entitles us to be better, that we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Man, the very people of God. We once weren't a people. But I'll tell you, it's not that it doesn't have its difficulties. The Bible says that our opportunities are many, but the adversaries are our standing point. But those adversaries are small compared to the opportunities that are in front of us. You know, and that's something that's really changed, that God's changed in my heart, just in how we communicate church, how we communicate this Christian life. This all being a Christian is, it opens you up to incredible opportunity. That's what living for God does for you in your life, is it gives you, it puts opportunity in front of you that you never had. A, it's the spirit of adoption comes out of our life where we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, that God, you're my papa, where we have that kind of thing where a lot of people didn't have in their natural life, but now have that relationship with God, our Father who art in heaven. Man, our Father, the relationship that God gives us. Man, who art in heaven, the position that comes into our life now, that our dad in heaven. So you know what that does? That links me. That gives me a supernatural link, and the DNA of my life now shifts to heaven. That I'm a citizen of heaven now. Man, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, so now we start thinking about the mark and the goal that we set before us. That we have to set a goal. We have to stay the course. You know, we have to set a mark. And if the mark is something that it's easy for us to do, that we don't need God, what kind of life is that? You know, I think about the times in my life where I took that step that felt like a risk, but how the reward was so great. And on the backside of it, the risk was so minor. Jesus in Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate. He says, wide's the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Man, they try to get to the stuff of life by the wide gate and wide and well-traveled gate. See, you look at it, the path of least resistance gate. But see, this life, it's interesting when you think about that gate. I know for me in my life, when I gave my life to the Lord, it was something, listen, it was painstaking. Man, I realized that Jesus made himself real to me a couple months before I gave my life to the Lord. You know, we have people in this room that, man, they'll give their lives to Jesus because Jesus, man, just supernaturally makes himself so real to them. That happened to me, but let me tell you, it wasn't that I just resisted it. I'm just telling you, I knew the price that it was going to take. I knew for me, because for me, and I'll tell you on this side of that decision that I made, I stood before that cross and I knew that taking my life through that cross, I wasn't going to be able to carry and bring all my stuff with me. I had to let everything go. I had to lay everything down, everything. See, not just my vices, not just my bad habits, but I had to lay my friends down. I had to lay people in my life down that were closer than brothers, that were people that, man, the lifestyle that I had, all that I knew, everything that I was good at, I had to lay that down. None of that translated through that cross. And that's why the Bible says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God or God's way of doing things. Why? Because we're trusting in our riches. We're trusting in our skills. We're trusting in our talents. Man, if you're a world-class guitar player, man, give your life to the Lord and play that guitar for God. No, let me tell you, what we don't want to do is departmentalize and then minimize what God's doing in our life. I'm telling you, if you're great at something, you lay it down. If you're weak at something, you lay it down. See, that's what we have to do in our lives. The eye of a needle is the gate in a fortified city that had a wall all around it. And that gate was just big enough for an unpacked camel to be able to go through it. If that camel had anything packed on it, it couldn't get in the gate. So they had to unload all the everything that was on the camels to get them in the gate and then bring all the stuff in. See, and for us in our lives, we look at it that narrow is the gate, but listen, also narrows the way. See, it's not just a tight squeeze that we get through and then it's like, oh, we can relax. Okay, I'm going to heaven. I'm blood-bought now. I've got my fire insurance now. It's gonna be easy for me now. Difficult is the way. No, the narrow is the way. Jesus is the only way. See, it's interesting because people want to say, man, I heard a speaker this last week that just said, I believe in a higher power. And he said, and Jesus is my higher power. And you know, I think that's okay to communicate it that way. But let me just tell you, he's the only higher power. He's the only way. He laid it out. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. Let me just tell you what that is. That's polarizing. I'll tell you what else it is. It's offensive because you know what? We've all got grandmamas and people that raised us that didn't believe that way. What, are they wrong? See, and we have to understand our lives now that narrow is the way, who we're going to be. But see, I think that also goes with the with the trajectory of our life, and it's what we're aiming at. You know, if any of you guys, the way you teach people to drive is you keep your eye on the road. Man, you stay alert to the things around you. Man, you can't be reading all the signs. You can't be looking at the sunset while you're driving. You don't teach somebody to drive that way, they'll be in a ditch. Man, you got to stay on point. If you're a golfer and there's a hazard in front of you, whether it's water or sand or the woods or whatever it is, man, if you're concentrating or if you're focusing on that, you're probably going to hit the ball into it. Man, those guys that play in the PGA, man, their focus is so razor sharp. It's amazing. Man, you're going to watch Tom Brady tonight. Let me just tell you, his focus is so razor sharp. Yet, you know what? He's got five or six behemoth world-class athletes that are coming to smack him around. But you know what he's got to have in that pocket? He's got to have poise. Man, he's got to have poise under pressure. See, and let me just tell you, man, that's not something that's just taught. That's something that is practiced and practiced and demand and practiced and coached. But see, in our lives, we're just thinking, well, we're just hoping people are going to get this. I don't want to be sloppy like that anymore. Man, I know that I'm talking to people and going to be talking to people today that are once or twice a month church people. I have a hard time thinking that we can disciple people and pastor people and shepherd people in 30 minutes on Sundays anyway. Man, it requires so much more. That's why we ask you for your email. And let me just tell you, we're very careful on how we send emails, but my gosh, they almost ought to be daily. Man, lift up your targets above. Your target's not of this earth. You keep aiming your life at things of this earth. Man, Taylor's taken over sub 30, and he submits his notes to me, and he and I go through his notes. And his notes last week ministered to me as I read them. That not to compare ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise as some do. And don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Man, we've got to be in a place that if you're comparing your life with anybody laterally, the Bible calls it foolish. Man, we've got to set our affections. We've got to set our target. We've got to set our mark on the things above. In Philippians 3:14, Paul writes, and he says this, and listen, man, this is a narrow gate and a difficult way. Now what we have to do is Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. Man, you got to find your mark. You got to set your mark. And it's not just a speed limit. It's the mark of your life. Man, where you begin to form and frame your life by the target you set, by the mark you have, the goal you have. Not that I've already attained and I'm already perfected, he said, but I press on in verse 12. But I press on that I may lay hold, I may seize that which is laid hold of me in Christ Jesus. Whatever you latch hold of in your mind, that's what's going to form or frame your life. You know, what you're thinking about, what your thoughts are. Man, a little bit of worry, little bit. You know, the Bible says, what good does worry do? Are you gonna grow in stature at all because of worry? Are you going to become higher character because you worry? Are you gonna be that person that people want to listen to because you're worrisome? Man, what the world wants to sell is fear. No, not in the kingdom. Man, there's so many people that are in the church today that are scared of the devil. That are truly, when we want to talk about last days or end times, they get fearful. Are you kidding me? Do you understand? This is our destiny. This is our route. This is the path that God. Are you guys here today? Is this good? This is our path. This is our route. This is not the destination. Man, you know what we're doing? We're gathering everything we can so that it can give us a little bit more influence or a little bit more stature in the community. Man, a little more say. And we're losing the kingdom. Man, Jesus finally said, all the things the Gentiles seek, your Father knows that you have need of those things. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. See, what is that? That's trust. That's faith. That's all that is. Man, how do we do that? We seek God. What does that word seek mean? Paul said, we have to lay hold. We have to seize that which is laid hold of us. See, no matter if you like it or not, you're not going to be able to shake God. Man, there's people that come in and they're I ran into a guy about a month ago at the car wash. And he walks up to me, he goes, and he's big man. I mean, he's this broad and he's tall and he's long hair and a beard. He goes, "Do you remember me?" Like with that kind of tone. And I said, "No. I would probably remember you." And he said, "Yeah, you used to come over to this shop as a Harley shop, and you'd have your bike worked on in there, and I'd be in, I worked in there, and man, you preached to me." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Well, let me just tell you, I'm an atheist." I said, "You know, it's interesting. If you're an atheist, you shouldn't be worried about anybody preaching to you. Because let me tell you something, I am fully, full-bore in love with Jesus, and I'm not sweating you being an atheist. I'm really not. That's your loss." He said, "No." And I said, "Because at the end of the day, you're an atheist because you know there's a God." And I don't even know where that came from. I'm not that kind of argument guy like that. And he said, no. He said, "But if there is," and he started. See, we have to look at that and understand who we really are and then be able to set that mark from who we are. Not that I've already attained in verse 12 or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold, that I may seize of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Whatever you latch hold of in your mind is going to be what frames your life. And we need to grab hold of this. Not just listen to it, not just ponder it. Man, we've got to lay hold of this. Verse 13, "Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Underline that, highlight that, tattoo that on your palm so you can look at it every day. "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Man, because you know what? Let's go to the victories first, the wins of our life, the trophies. All that's going to do is bring the pride of life into the situation with us from our past. The failures, we all know you bring your failure in. It's like, you know, a lot of people, man, they'll go through a marriage, the marriage will break up, and they'll get a new marriage, and it's like, whoa, wait a second, that is not going to fix it, a new spouse. Because the common denominator is you. You know, I've been, man, this church offended me, or I went here and I didn't like this music. No, the common denominator is you. And usually it's the mark or the target or the goal that you've set for your life. Because we want to be able to, we want to be able to set the kind of goals that we did when we were five. If you made it to school, you passed. But no, you know what? I'll tell you, life is the way school ought to be. You pass the test, you get promoted. See, there's so many people that are in these tests and trials of life. You know, it's interesting because legal work, I don't like it. You know why? I'm not a lawyer. You know what I realized? Anything I've been involved in with the legal system, oh my gosh, it was painstaking for me. It used a lot of energy for me. I had to be on my toes. Man, these lawyers, they're cavalier. You know why? It's their playground. See, and I realized, wait a second, my citizenship is in heaven. It's not on this earth. So if my competition or the issues of my life are all worldly or all lateral or all subject to gravity, I'm never going to experience the true presence of God prevailing in my life. See, we've got to get to a place where we realized I haven't attained because that's worldly. I'm not perfected. Man, there's always going to be, man, there's 100 better preachers, but arguably tens of thousands of better preachers than me that are watching the internet, better public speakers that are here right now. But you know what? There is one central thing I always go back to in my life, and it's the call. The call. I want to protect the call. I press toward the mark or the goal of the prize. Now listen, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, I press. You're thinking, man, why isn't it easy? Because every force in the world is against it. But if God be for you, who could be against you? But see, here's the point I want to make today, is that if you take your target or your goal, I press toward the goal. If this is my goal, if you hit it, where are you? You're at the same level that you've always been. But you know what? If you say, no, this is my goal. This is my goal. I press toward the mark of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You hit that mark, where are you? You're elevated. And see, that's all God wants to do in our lives every single day, every service, every time you go to the Word, every time you listen to a podcast, every time you worship God, every time you sing a song. Man, these music guys, and I appreciate them so much, but there is one demand that I've put on them for over 20 years. Lift the room. Elevate the room. Why? Because everything else in this world is going to try to keep our feet on the ground. Man, you can't dream like that. You got to keep your feet on the ground. Man, if you got those kind of dreams, man, you're going to be disappointed. I had very intelligent, affluent people, influencers in this community that came up to me in lines and said, please don't do it. You got a wife and babies. Better men than you have tried to do what you're doing, what you're going to try to do. And you know what? For a minute, 20 or 30 seconds, I remember putting my hands in my pockets and getting all introspective and really taking account of the skill set and the tools that I brought to the equation. And I thought, you know what, they're probably right. And then it started churning in me, and that's the Spirit of God. It started churning in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Man, do you understand? I dropped out of college, and I'm not proud of that. But you know something? I didn't qualify for Bible school right after that. I hadn't been a Christian long enough. Man, I'm sorry, we can't accept you. Man, some of you guys that have thought, man, oh my gosh, I'm unaccepted. You have to realize that what is there in your life? And then for the very first time in my life, when they rejected my application for Bible school. And let me tell you, they were making a cattle call for people to come in and study. No, you haven't been a Christian long enough. I remember this, I want to say it's a holy rage, this at least indignation that started rising up inside of me. And you know what it did? All that was the call of God that was on my life that I never really fully realized was there. Or I'm not taking no for an answer. When your call comes into play, when the upward call of Christ Jesus, please personalize this for your life. Whether or not you're ever on a stage preaching like this or not, I'm telling you, your life has to preach. There's a power on the inside of you. See, this is the central theme of God's heart. He doesn't want to get out of you all that he can, use you up and bring you home. No, you know what? He wants you to get all of life. This life matters. Yeah, you know what? Heaven's our destination. But how poorly I can probably communicate it, this destiny is vital toward our destination. The route you take. You know why? There's people in your path. Man, the Samaritan that went out to the other side of the road and helped somebody that was beaten, he took him to the doctor. He said, look, here's what I have to give you right now. If his tab becomes more than this, I'll come back and make it right with you. And you know what? Here we are now, still talking about that guy. Man, the religious guys, the Pharisees, they walked right on by. But see, we've got to be those who turn the world upside down. Man, that nothing works without us. Do you understand that? Man, we can gripe and complain about our government all we want, but it's just reflecting the church. You'll say, well, what can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. Not that I've attained, not that I've perfected, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't you love that? Man, is your trajectory like this? Or is it like this? And I want the people around me to be better. I want their trajectory to lift. And let me just tell you, I'm not like most of the rest. Because if I can do it, I'm telling you, anybody in this room can do it. We just can't take no for an answer. We can't suffer the rejection because we don't add up or we hadn't been around long enough. I'm just telling you, you want to get all this you can get. You want to be a part of everything that God's doing around your life because this is what works. Man, I press because that mark elevates my vision. You know, I've got vision for this church, but equally as important, I've got vision for my own life. You got vision for your life. So now, you know what? Whatever the vision of the church is, I think all that is just a catalyst and a spark for us to realize the vision we have for our life. Maybe some of you guys have set that beside. Maybe some of you guys have got to rekindle or rebuild that. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what gender you are, what age you are, how much money you do or don't have, how much debt you have, how healthy you've been. I'm just telling you, we're talking about from here and now because we set our mark on the prize. So the prize becomes the goal. And the prize is just simply the call, the upward call, the heavenly call. And when you walk in that elevated call, your life is better. Your life is elevated. And then generationally, what happens? Sandy and I have never communicated to our kids that we can't afford anything, ever. Yeah, a lot of times the answer is no. But the reason is never we can't afford it. What we don't want to do is instill can't in our children. Because all that can't is, out of the abundance of your mouth, your heart speaks. Man, if that can't is always coming out of your mouth, it's because it's your heart's flush with it. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for everything that you're about. God, we thank you for the upward call of God that's in all of our lives. God, the mark and the standard, the goal. God, I pray that every person in here has the supernatural ability, the power, the provision, the promise to stay the course, to finish strong, to be who you've called us to be, God. If you're here today and your life's not right with God, I want to pray with you here in a minute. But also, if you're here today and you've gotten off course, you know what happens. Man, your business grows, your family grows, your debt grows, your hospital visits grow, whatever it is. Man, all that is just excuses. And we have to live our lives with no excuses and no explanations. Why? We're Christians. We once weren't a people. Those are the I can't people. But now we're his people, a chosen people. I got great news for you. God's picked you. You're not left out. God's chosen you. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this life. God, I thank you for the mark that you're setting in my heart for the trajectory of my life. God, I thank you for the prize, your promise that's attached to that new mark, the upward call of God operative in my life is who I am now. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. You gave your son so that I can have vision for life, God, and life more abundant. I receive it now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.